Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here with us this morning for our services. We're blessed to have you here, and we pray that you're blessed through our service this morning as well. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio today on KSPK. Thanks for joining us for our service this morning. We wish the Lord's blessings upon you also. This morning we'll be worshiping to the order of morning prayer, which is provided for you in your bulletin. And we focus this morning in our readings and our sermon on how to forgive. Where does that strength, motivation come from? That's what we'll be talking about today, and we're glad you're here to join us, for our Lord is good and gracious and full of love and faithfulness towards you and me this morning. So we begin our service today with our opening hymn. That's hymn 719, I Leave All Things to God's Direction. Let's sing together. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not mine forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Give glory to God, our light and our life. Let's worship Him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the and our life. In your bulletin on page 5, we join together in our responsive psalm this morning from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
O Lord, works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. Just a little bit of background here in case the story of Joseph is fuzzy in your mind. When Joseph was a small boy, he was taken captivity by Egyptians who put him in slavery. But that happened to him because of his brothers. His brothers sold him into slavery as a young boy and then lied to their father and told their father that he had been killed by a wild animal, even tricking the father by putting blood on Joseph's coat. And here in Genesis 50, we have the account of what happens after Joseph, by the hand of God, is lifted up into power in Egypt, and the great famine has come upon the land. And Joseph's brothers, then, we'll see in a moment, come to Egypt for food and run into their brother Joseph. And then we see the account as it follows from verse 15 to verse 21, Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. We continue now with our epistle reading from Romans chapter 14. The apostle writes by the Holy Spirit, "As for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes that he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able. Before our gospel reading this morning, we sing verses 2 and 3 of "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here."
"'Tis good, Lord, to be here."
Our gospel reading for this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew in the 18th chapter and is our text for consideration for the sermon today as well. Verse 21 and following. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It was about 2 weeks ago, today, that we heard Jesus telling us what I kind of considered a heavy idea about forgiveness. He said that we must forgive. And we talked about that and how important it is and how unforgiveness has no place in the church of Christ. For the church exists by his will for the purpose of forgiveness, not for anything else. And we also talked about how if we don't forgive and we hold grudges, that it's like concrete in our hearts. When the offense first takes place, it's easy to move the concrete, right? It's easy to deal with it, or easier. But if we give it time, it will set up and harden our hearts against one another and against God and his forgiveness, sadly. So I'm curious, 2 weeks later, how's the forgiving going for you? Or if you weren't here, just an open question. How are you doing with forgiving those who've sinned against you according to our Lord's command? How am I doing? Interestingly enough, it seems we aren't the only ones that find it difficult to forgive sometimes. We had the example of Joseph and his brothers earlier from Genesis 50 when Joseph said, "Am I God? Am I in the place of God? Have no fear." And in our gospel reading, Peter, he seems to be struggling along with us when it comes to Jesus' teaching about forgiveness. Because he approaches Jesus asking him in verse 21 of our gospel reading this morning, "Lord, so how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" As many as seven times? It's like Peter took one of our phrases and sort of changed it, right? It would go like this. Fool me seven times, shame on you. But fool me eight times, shame on me. But you got to love Jesus' response to Peter, because he can see within Peter and he can see within us that there, within ourselves, is not found what it takes to forgive. Not without God. We always, on our own, naturally turn to the wrong place for the motivation and the strength to forgive. Think about it. When we've been hurt, when we've been sinned against, where do we look for the forgiveness that God commands us to have, like we heard a couple weeks ago? We usually look inside ourselves. We dig around for the right feelings, and they're not really there. We always make it about us. We think, well, maybe if I was a better person, then I could, you know, forgive. Or we see other people who seem to just be able to not get offended so easily, and we wish we were kind of like them, or at least like them more. But we're not. I've heard it said to me many times, even with tears, Pastor, I just don't feel forgiveness towards that person at all. I know I should forgive, but I can't. You know what? That's right. For you and for me. This morning, Jesus brings us the help that we need with how to forgive. See, we're basing our forgiveness on the wrong thing. And this morning, we learn from the mouth of our God where the true motivation to forgive comes from. And we do well, friends, to take note and review it often, daily, maybe even hourly, when those seasons of our life seem to be filled with offenses. Listen to what Jesus says again in our gospel reading, verse 23 to 27. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Pause for a second. Now, according to today's money, it's anywhere between $1 and $3 billion with a B dollars. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. He shows him amazing, unspeakable mercy. But what was the servant's response to this? Well, I'm sure you remember, but let's read it again. He went out and found someone who owed him a small amount of money. And seizing him, he began to choke him. It's kind of a violent picture. Pay what you owe, he said. So his fellow servant did the same thing as him. He fell down and pleaded with him. Have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. What was going through this guy's mind? His master had showed him great mercy, forgiven billions in debt. How could he go out after that and treat someone who owed him with such harsh treatment? Well, I think there's a clue to that in the text in verse 26, because listen to what the man tells the king when he's in the hot seat. He says, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. But the king didn't require that of him, but instead forgave him completely. The man no longer had any debt. But it seems like he couldn't let it go. He couldn't let it go. He had become so money-minded, so used to trying to earn his way that he still felt intense pressure to come up with the money he owed. So he went out and treated the man that owed him harshly and shamefully. And as we saw in the text, he didn't get away with it. He was punished and put in prison himself. In the last verse, 35, Jesus says, "Also my Father in heaven will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So what is Jesus telling us today? How does he help us then through this to see where the motivation and the strength to forgive comes from? Well, the man in the parable, he messed it up because his motivation was still to earn it back, to perform, to prove that he could do it, even to himself. His pride fettered him, blinded him. He couldn't escape the "I have to pay it back" sort of thinking. And this is what's striking to me, living in a body in the world like you, is that we can't really get over that either. That same "I have to earn it" mentality that messed up the guy in our parable. We're constantly trying to prove that we're good enough, that we've accomplished it, that we've done it right. To God, sure, but often just to ourselves. We're our own worst critics, as people will say, constantly measuring ourselves and then super hard on ourselves at the same time. The Lord wants us to know there's no fuel for forgiveness in that. Zero. Not in the law. All our self-justifying is just us trying to keep rules and make amends for our shortcomings. But what we must see every single day is that there's a huge, massive, colossal, don't miss this, huge difference between us trying to make things right and us being shown mercy. There's a huge, colossal difference. Our life as Christians is a life, and maybe you've forgotten this too, but it's a life where we owe nothing to God. Nothing. We're free. Our debt has been forgiven. No amount of religious observance, no amount of attempts at righteous living can ever make up for the billions in sin that you owed and that I owed. But God has shown us mercy. Pure grace. We need to be careful as we think about this in life so that we don't mess that up and confuse it with something we do. This is the whole of it. He has forgiven our huge, huge debt of sin. Simple as that. Put a period on the end of it. We don't add to it. So what place does that put us in? When we would refuse to forgive those who've hurt us. We're acting just like the wicked servant in the parable. Forgiven for billions of sins. Yet unwilling to forgive. Brothers and sisters, this is it. It's very natural for us to look for the motivation and the fuel for forgiveness in basically two places. One is within us, and then we don't find it. We're hurt. We're offended. So then we turn to the person who needs our forgiveness. And we start to look at them to see, you know, if they're worthy of it or not. But they're the one that hurt us in the first place. So I don't think it's going to make sense to us if we're looking for it there. It's not going to make sense to us to forgive if we're looking for the motivation and the strength and the fuel in the person who hurt us. So where is it? How do we forgive, Lord? We heard your word that we must forgive. But how? That's the heart of the parable. Because ask this, where should the man who was shown such great mercy in our text have looked for the fuel or the strength or even the idea or the motivation to forgive? Not in himself, not in the person who owed him the debt, but where? In the mercy of his master. That's where. He should have considered carefully the billions he owed and come to grips with all that he had been forgiven for. And this is a huge and important Christian life point. This is why God keeps his law before our eyes always, even though our sins are forgiven. He keeps his law there because we need to see our sin constantly too. We don't like that. That's not fun. But we need to recognize it and not forget about it. And why is that? Precisely so we can see and remember and never forget what our Master has forgiven us. The man in the parable should have examined that again. What great mercy he was shown. And so should we when we know we need to forgive. Friend, that's where the motivation and the strength to forgive actually comes from. Not from your feelings, not from mine, and not from the person that needs to be forgiven and whether or not it's fair. If we judge it that way, we'll always judge it wrong. But if we hear our Lord this morning and we look at what's been forgiven us, oh boy, it'll start to make sense. It'll really start to make sense. We should ask ourselves every day that question. How much has God forgiven me? How great has his mercy been toward me? This is why the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he writes and calls himself the chief of sinners. We have a hymn in our church that we sing, chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. But he calls himself that because he knows where the strength to forgive actually exists. And he's recalling all that was forgiven him. If you read his letters, you'll hear him. He'll talk about the things he used to do to Christians before Christ came to him. He knows where it exists. It never lies in any kind of moving on in life without the recognition of how much God has forgiven us. Jesus puts it this way in Luke 7, verse 47. He who is forgiven little loves little. And the adverse is true. Who has been forgiven much has what they need to love and to forgive. Did you catch that? He who's been forgiven much has what they need to forgive. When they don't look here and they don't look there, but they see what God has done. We shouldn't really be afraid to consider our past mistakes and regrets or who we used to be. Heck, even who we were this morning before we got to church. Sometimes that doesn't go so well. We shouldn't be afraid of that. Or to even call ourselves who we are apart from Christ, like we do in our confession absolution, poor, miserable sinners. We say that. We shouldn't be afraid of it because it reveals and reminds us just how much he's done, just how much he's forgiven. And now with that in full view, how could you or I go out and be unwilling to forgive? When we look at our own strength, When we look at our own reason and calculations, what somebody did to us or left undone that they should have done, then it doesn't make any sense to forgive them. But if we see it this way, the mercy and grace of God isn't actually coming from us. It's only coming through us. God the Father's immense forgiveness for us, literally flowing right through us out to forgive those who've sinned against us. It's unmerited. It's unearned. It's just grace. But his forgiveness is what empowers ours. This is what Jesus was teaching Peter with the parable, and it's what he's teaching us today also. Where we need to look to find the strength to forgive, the how of forgiveness. And so where do we look? Right there. Where our Lord Jesus paid the price, paid the immense cost, where God gave his only begotten Son, more precious than gold or silver that perishes, gave his only Son Jesus in order to make forgiveness make sense to you and to me and to all his blessed people, and in order to forgive us of our sins. That's how it makes sense. This is the gospel for you and for me, and it's what gives us the power and the strength to forgive others. Simply put, and this is the end, when we need to truly forgive, brothers and sisters, when we need to really let it go, to love again, watch out for the concrete coming into your hearts by the offense, and instead look to the cross of your Lord and see what a great debt was forgiven you. Then by grace, it will make sense for you to go out and forgive and show mercy as well. For this is God's work within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the time in our service this morning where we have the opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of the blessings that he's given to us in our time of tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning in our service, let's join together in singing hymn number 758, "The Will of God is Always Best." Let's sing. We now come to the time in our service where we join together in our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in your mercy, you have forgiven our insurmountable debts of sin, ransoming us with the death of your Son. Lord, free us from our grudges and unforgiving nature, lest through our lack of mercy we exclude ourselves from your forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Almighty God, Lord, it's Satan who is the accuser, who brings up our past faults and causes us to start to think that they're not forgiven, which is a lie. Lord, you use all things for good according to your word, including those things that you've already forgiven that exist in our memory. Lord, because you show us through them what a great debt you've set aside for us and empower us to forgive those who sin against us. Lord, like you did with Joseph in our text from Genesis 50, how you kept him from evil and brought out good from his suffering in Egypt and allowed him to be a vessel for your forgiveness as it flowed through him to his brothers. Teach us, Lord, to be slow to judge, quick to forgive, and steadfast in love for you and one another. Lord, in your mercy, we praise you, O Lord, for retaining among us your holy word and sacraments. Continue to raise up faithful stewards of your mysteries, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name would be proclaimed in our midst and throughout the world. Prepare your baptized children, each of us, Lord, to be faithful confessors of the hope that's within us. Lord, in your mercy, caring Father, visit the homes of your people, keep them from all harm and danger, and grant that we would dwell together in peace under the protection of your holy angels. Lord, in your mercy. God of power and might, sustain the nations of the earth and lead them in the way of justice and truth. Defend life and liberty and give us honest and faithful rulers, that our nation may strive towards what is honorable, true, and just, that divisions would cease and that peace would reign. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, according to your will, grant healing to the sick and those who are in need, especially those we name from the altar this morning from our prayers here in our church, Sandra Cody, Mike and Troy Kirk, Dave Sturr, Jim and Linda Holman, Dennis Ortiz, Letha Hershey, J.D. Deacon, Dale Randorf, James Mills, Carolyn Jeery, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson. We lift up the Cody family to you as well today. Lord, also hear us as we bring to you those things that are on our hearts and minds silently at this time. Lord, grant those that we've brought before you in our hearts and openly from the altar patience to endure their time of suffering, whatever it may be. Crown their days with your mercy and grant to them healing and relief, we pray, Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, though we come to your table as servants who owe a great debt we cannot repay, your Son has forgiven it in its entirety. Don't let Satan's lies find root in our hearts that we would even see our past sins and they have any other use than to show us how great you are. As we receive your Son Jesus, his very body and blood for our forgiveness today, let us be grateful and go out to serve others with that same spirit of forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. Father, bless our school here at Trinity. Bless our teachers and staff, school board members, and all the students. We thank you for the opportunity to share the gospel with those young children. Lord, bless our hospital here in Alamosa and our hospitals around the valley. Bless the staff, the nurses and the doctors and all who work there. Lord, we thank you for them and their service to us. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our collect for grace this morning. It's found there on page 9 in the bulletin. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our service of the Holy Sacrament. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in to our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings and his peace on the rest of your day. And we welcome you into our service here at 10 a.m. here at Trinity in person if you're able to make it. Thanks for tuning in. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, we begin on page 10 with the preface. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth in full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.